John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 137.
I think it's 38, though, because I had an old email that said 37. I don't know if Tom was right, but I trust Tom more than myself.
Tom's lost count of the episodes.
I trust Tom a lot more than myself. Looking it up.
It was brought to you by Parse Rum. Now, Dakota's just going to keep talking for the entire intro, but this is brought to you by Parse Rum. I love Parse, you love Parse. It's the best time of year to get someone a gift, and that gift should be Parse Rum. Make someone's day, make someone's year.
This is definitely 38.
No, it's 37. I think at some point, I went back and did some math. I was on a plane. I did some math. I think at some point we skipped a number, so I think we're doing 37 again, technically.
I was going to say, I just played last week's episode, and we said welcome to episode 137.
Who really knows what
we're not a math company. John Boy Media, known not math company. So okay. We're trying our best.
That's fair.
Here's where we're at. We're back. We took a week off. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and a great holiday. It was really nice timing for all of us. Tom was at a wedding. I don't know what Zach and Dakota were doing, but now we're back. I was all over the place. We're back. Dakota just got home from a workout because he cares and he's really a hard worker.
My bad. I want you guys to know that.
And he's really bringing the energy. He hasn't eaten since noon. He's drinking a protein shake. Anything else you want to tell the people, Dakota?
The big fella's hungry. He's dehydrated. I'm not going to make excuses here. I'm going to give you my best every time out. You know, that's just all I can do for you.
Hey, everybody's playing hurt this time of the year.
Everyone's a little banged up.
Come on.
I want to start with a topic that I know that you'll be fired up about. Okay. Want to talk?
Don't talk about it.
I want to talk about it.
I know what you're going to say. I don't want to talk about it. Neither does Tom.
I want to talk about the USA soccer team.
Okay? I knew you were going to say it.
They had they got through pool play. Big deal. Really nice. Everybody's fired up.
Group play.
That's what I said. I know soccer. And then
you do, though. We used to.
They play the Netherlands 3-1. Tough game. Tough grind. What do you got?
We used to go to the locker room.
Are you going to fire the coach?
No, we used to go to the locker room at 8 a.m. to watch you or the women's team.
That was the women. I'm into the women.
But wasn't that when the boys were all on their betting stuff and like that was the reason why they rallied behind the women?
Ian never bet.
Hab's shaking his head.
Ian literally like – I would go in there early because I remember at my apartment, I didn't have a TV. So I was like, I'm going to go to the field early as fuck and watch the games. And I would. And Ian's like, yeah, what time are you getting there? And like, he would be there too. And I'm like, all right, I guess Hap's locked in too. Let's go.
I mean, we were throwing some money out there on the girls. I was fired up about it. Okay. What do you got? I want you to talk about
it. Yes. Berhalter out. I'm done watching them. I can't even watch him on the sidelines. Tom, I'll give you a chance.
Yeah, I can watch him on the
second.
Sidelines because his shoes are fucking dope.
He's on the sidelines, and he just looks like he doesn't have a clue. I don't know anything about soccer. I know nothing. I know, like, the rules. That's it. And I know our players, and I watch a good amount of it. But I don't know any tactics. But I'll tell you who else doesn't know tactics. Greg Berhalter. That guy's a fucking idiot.
You want to talk about a nepotism hire? His brother was COO of the U.S. Soccer Federation. Guess who gets to pick the head coach? The U.S. Soccer Federation. To answer your original question, though, Ian, most national team coaches only really get one World Cup cycle. At that point, they're done. I would be very surprised if they brought him back. If they bring him back, I'm going to lose my mind in a way that I've truly not lost my mind. Also, if I see Haj Wright on the street, I'm throwing hands. I will lose the fight.
He scored.
That's fine. No, he didn't do that on purpose. We both knew that was luck.
Someone I saw a tweet that said like, what a goal. I'm like, that was not at all what he was trying to do, but it was sick.
Timeout. This is a national team though. Like, these are supposed to be the best players in the country. No. Why? Yeah. How does a coach have this much effect on it's like coaching the Warriors back in their prime, or like,
we don't have the most talent though. I mean, we're not.
How much are you going to do?
So you watch like Netherlands coach. I mean, they have a very good team, but their coach is like unbelievable. Like tactically, like just the way they prepared for the U.S.
Our team's game plans usually fine the first half. Like, we've usually played pretty good first halves.
Oh,
their coach said. Their coach said they made no halftime adjustments. The Netherlands coach said our coach made no halftime.
Didn't
adjustments.
They score in the second half?
It was a fluke.
It was 2-1. It was 2-1.
We were way closer to our first half was way better than our second half. First half, we were the better team. We were down 2-0, and I feel confident saying we were the better team in the first half. Would you agree, Tom?
And they scored both their chances.
They had two good chances where we just said, here's a free cutback to the middle of the box. There you go. Enjoy your
ultimately
goals.
Not having a good striker is like not having a good bullpen in baseball. Like, you can do everything else right, but when it gets down to it, you need the guy at the end of the game who can shut the fucking door. We didn't have that guy who could score the fucking goal we needed to score. And Haj Wright was certainly not that guy.
I could talk about this for hours with Tom. Quick thing, Ian, before I get to your question. This is a deep cut, two deep cuts. This is only for people that – people might hate this part. Don't care. First of all, Tom, did you see Balogun is considering the U.S.? That's huge. He would be a striker. Like, he'd be in there every single game.
They need to try to call him up now, though. He was killing it in France.
Yes. Two, my biggest gripe with Berhalter is you go through the group stage and you don't play Gio Reyna. He played, I think, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, a whole group stage. And then, because he never plays a false nine, he wants a striker, he needs a striker. And then you go to the second half, you're down 2-0. You go, all right, let's go false nine now. Like, we're down 2-0. Now let's put Gio in there. Fuck it. Let's try it. It made no sense to me. Like, why do you wait that long to do it then if you've never done it?
He's just not a national team coach. And the thing that really hurt us, I think, was the lack of quality outside of our starting 11. If you did a draft of the team, those two teams, probably taking four Netherlands guy before you take an American. But after that, it's pretty, I would say, fairly even from that point on. The problem is once you get to the benches again, you're taking every guy in the Netherlands bench before you take like one American off the bench.
I think we had the midfield advantage, and that was about it.
Yeah. Have you guys ever thought about doing a soccer podcast together?
Well, it's
Here's
only
my second
the,
question.
It's only
my
the
second
ma-
question
it's only
is
the national team.
Second question is maybe Ted Lasso for coach 2027. When's it come back?
26. It's in the U.S. Get it, Ian. Lock in.
It's in the U.S. Where is it?
Well, it's in North America. There's 16 different locations.
It's all over the place. It's not like in one
16
stadium
locations.
The entire World Cup.
It's like New York, Chicago might have one.
Does the U.S. automatically qualify since they're hosting
Yes.
it?
Yes. So does Mexico and so does Canada.
Ooh, thank God.
Wait, how do they do that? They play in 16 different cities for group play?
It just kind of like it's different regions. So it goes by region. Like, there's West Coast regions. And then there's like, I think like Vancouver might be one in LA and
the Jets stadium. Hosts
Jets
one.
Is one. Like, there's New York, Boston. Like, there's 16 different locations, but they're like grouped together in four separate groups. And that's where like they'll
where
play
do they play
games.
The final friend.
I don't know. I haven't seen that yet.
I saw Mercedes, the Superdome is one of them. Or the Jordan, whatever it is now. I think it's Superdome, right?
This is very interesting. This has been a soccer pod brought to you by
Real quick, my last thing on it. Two points. One, I'm going to save every dollar I have to make sure I can go to a game in 2026. Two, I am proud of the way we played. Tom, would you agree? I said if we make it out of the group, I can't be upset because this has always been a 2026.
Why though? Why?
Because we're just not as talented. Like, Netherlands is so much more talented than us.
We've never made it past the quarterfinals in the history of the tournament.
And so. I think we showed enough that in 2026, like, now it's like, wait a second. Like, these guys we have like the second youngest team in the whole World Cup. So in 2026,
all of our players
like,
should be in their prime.
We're going to make some noise.
USA. USA 2026.
Ian's buying us all tickets to the finals. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Group trip. Just so you guys know, that was soccer. That was a soccer pod brought to you by Mugsy Jeans. Mugsy Jeans, best jeans out there. Super stretchy, super great. They also have chinos. They also do a couple of hoodie things, but really, they do really, really great jeans. Best jeans I ever had. Only jeans I'll ever wear. Code JohnBoy, 10% off. Plus free shipping. That's code JohnBoy, 10% off, plus free shipping. Mugsy Jeans, good holiday gift. Think about it. Get some Parse, get some Mugsy Jeans. Yes, Dakota.
Last thing on the World Cup.
Oh, soccer.
Last thing I'll say. Very last thing I'll say. Isn't it cool, Zach, in a million years, would you watch a soccer game other than the USA?
No,
and you
I
watched
agree.
Them, right?
I did.
And that's what I just think that's cool. Because like a lot of people don't ever watch soccer. But the World Cup's sick. Like
I was a huge Greg fan, so that's why I tuned in.
Well, you're disgusting.
The players all talked about that their goal for this team was to inspire the next generation of American players, especially because there was no 2018 World Cup. They didn't necessarily play the most exciting brand of soccer, so I don't know if that happened, but I hope it did. Also, by the way, we're mad. Chicago didn't get any World Cup games. The cities are Atlanta, Boston, Dallas, Houston, Kansas City, LA, Miami, New York, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Seattle for the 2020.
Can you even consider New York?
Well, it's New York / New Jersey, but yeah.
Yeah.
Half for Chicago. Let's get into baseball offseason, free agency. Couple of splashes.
A lot earlier than last year, huh? Because of the lockout.
Well, technically, no. Wasn't there splashes right before the lockout, which was like a week ago or 2 weeks ago was the lockout time?
Oh, well, I thought it was like right away. I'm blocked out.
Well, sorry. But regardless, Verlander, 2 for $86. DeGrom, 5/185. Is that number right?
Yes.
Turner, 11 for $300. Where do you want to start?
I would like to start with the Phillies. And Trey Turner.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I saw a tweet that between, I forget the exact, it was Castellanos, Schwarber, Harper, Trey Turner, Zach Wheeler, maybe one more person, they have over $1 billion committed.
I think Real Muto. Did you forget Real Muto?
Real Muto, yes. That was the last one. And that is insane to think about.
Interesting thing here. Interesting tidbit. So Turner gets 11 years. We know Bryce got 13. One of the things that this does for them, extending the term to 11 years, and even though you're paying him until he's 40, you do get that lower AAV. So your luxury tax implication is $27 million, as opposed to like Verlander's deal, the luxury tax implication is $43 million. So by these guys taking a little bit of a longer term, 13 for Bryce, 11 for Turner, it allows them to go and get more players and stay under that or within a reasonable range of that luxury tax threshold. And people have been saying, if Turner is getting 27 a year, what are these other shortstops going to get? But you have to remember that the shorter the term, in general, the higher the AAV is going to be. So, you know, one of the other guys, whether it's Correa or Bogarts or Swanson, they're going to push up on that number. You might even see one of the guys bounce over that number for a really short AAV.
Dude, that's so much money what these guys are getting. And the DeGrom one is interesting to me because he's, what, 34, 35? He's been injury plagued, I guess you could say, over his career, which is always, you know, it's tough because, I mean, it's tough for hitters, obviously, but like as a fan, you want to see, especially somebody like him, you want to see him out there every fifth day. And I mean, with how good he is, if I were a GM or an owner, I think I would have a little bit of a tougher time giving that much money and length to him opposed to Verlander for 2 to 3 years for a bazillion dollars. You know, obviously,
I listened to Talking Baseball when I was working out today, and they said the high offer to DeGrom from the Mets was 3 for $120.
And that's where I mean, obviously, as a business standpoint, and I don't blame them for, you know, taking longer years, but it's tough. You know, like you go from the Mets who were in the playoffs this year, and then you're going to go to the Rangers who had, what, less than 75 wins this year. It's like, you know, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But it's tough. I feel like they could use a few more pieces.
I think the Rangers can keep spending. I think they're going to be in on one of the other pitchers.
Yeah, I agree.
They probably need one more outfield bat, and they're going to go compete in the West. I mean, you still have the Astros there, but I think a lot of teams saw what the Phillies did this year. You know, they squeaked in, and then they made that amazing run because they have really good players. And I think some front offices took note of that. I do think, you know, Verlander and Scherzer, 1-2 for the Mets. They're up
back
there.
Like, back age. Like their old days in Detroit.
Yeah, but they're you know, those guys were – Scherzer was had a, you know, a little stretch there. He wasn't healthy. But for the most part, you know, those guys, they're pretty healthy. They're competitors. Like, they're going to go out there. They're going to make their starts. They have great track records. I don't know. If you're DeGrom Scherzer or Verlander Scherzer, I don't know which – it's not like there's a clear winner in that 1-2 punch.
No.
Probably who's the healthiest.
Did you see that Verlander is making obviously $43 million a year and the Orioles entire payroll is $44 million a year?
You know what else is scary?
One player.
There's two teams, the Pirates and maybe the A's, that have not given a free agent contract with a number over $40 billion on it. These guys are making $40 a year. They have never given a free agent contract that is a bigger number than 40 total.
Well, what's his – Zach Eflin, is that his last name? That's the highest raised free agent contract ever, wasn't it?
How's that possible?
Three for 40, and they said it's the highest ever given by the Rays.
Can you tell me how that's insane. Possible?
Because, like, the Mets and the – like, they laugh at that. They're like, that's it? That's all you want is 3 for 40?
Yeah,
I mean, we'll throw you. Go ahead.
F1's deal is 3 for 40, and it is the largest deal in the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
And awarded free agency.
Insanity.
I can't comprehend that. I'm having a tough time comprehending that.
And they've had some success as well.
But they have a fan base who can't connect to any player because the longest they've ever given someone, 3 for 40. But also they have done some extensions with Wander Franco and Evan Longoria, but it's crazy to me. You know, they get these good players as soon as they get to arbitration, they say that's too much money, we're not going to pay you. They ship them off. That's not the way to build a fan base. Okay, it's not the way.
What do the Rangers do? Like, what I hate all that.
They have the weirdest. I agree. Like last year, they signed Seager, and was Semien last year too.
Yep. Yeah, and then
but it's like they get two huge guys, and then like nothing. It's like,
well, they paid John Gray, or what's his name? Is that his name?
John Gray from the Rockies.
Yeah, they paid him.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they have so many holes still. It's like, hey, like, how about you just sprinkle in like 3 or 4 good players instead of like one great player?
They also have Perez.
Yeah. Martin Perez, Adolis Garcia.
Oh, they have other good players. I'm just saying, like, I feel like what Tom said, they make one big signing. Sorry, go ahead, Ian.
And I think they have some young guys coming up. And I think if they supplement the pitching with one other guy, they put together something that looks a lot more competitive. I think when you sign two big free agents like they did with Seager and Semien, you expect them to, like, go win right away. But those guys are signing with a bet that over the course of their contract, that team's going to put together a winner. And it doesn't always happen right away. Like, the Cubs got really lucky when they signed Lester, that they weren't supposed to be good in 2015. They signed John with the belief that they would continue to add and be good. And they kind of, everybody came up and was really productive right away. And the team was really good. Like, it doesn't always work like that. You know, you have to get some good players in place to entice other good players, spend a little bit more money, some young guys come up, and then you have to catch lightning in a bottle to be good.
Well, it's also like, not that Texas is a small market. I don't know where they rank, but with the like the Cubs and Yankees, like when they're rebuilding, I feel like it's easier to buy into that. Like with Lester, it's like, all right, you're the Chicago Cubs. Like you can go buy players. Like I know you're going to go buy players. And I feel like that's just easier to sell those guys on. Like the Rangers, I don't know. I don't know where they
I
are.
Just don't, like I don't payroll. Like any of the contracts the Rangers gave out. Like respect.
They
like
give DeGrom's, out some big ones.
DeGrom's obviously great. Seager's obviously super talented. Like, but I'm just not a huge like believer in seam. Like, no, I don't think any of these contracts move the needle for me in any significant way.
I mean, they still, you know, it's weird because they have Nate Lowe, who was, I think he won Silver Slugger for, or he won something for
raked.
Raked. Hit. I think he hit 300.
Yeah.
Adolis Garcia.
I was going to say, I'm looking at their 40, man. There's a lot of guys I haven't heard of. Sorry, keep going.
No, but like, I don't know. Like you said, they have the names. I think the pitching, if they get a, I mean, again, they have Martin Perez, DeGrom, Gray. I mean, they think they need, if they could get two or three more guys, I mean, fuck.
Hey, I mean, Jonah Heim.
Let me ask you another question. Tom.
Jonah Heim committed to Michigan State. Oops.
Who's a New York guy?
If the Yankees went out and signed DeGrom for $5 for $185, or they signed Corey Seager for whatever he got, you're are you saying the same thing? Are you saying I don't understand that it's a bad contract?
No, because
of course not. But that's the context, right? Is that if the Yankees did that, they're potentially one piece away. The Rangers need 25 more pieces. IMO, you know, they need them. They have a lot of poles.
I agree.
They used to, but the Rangers. The Rangers used to throw out those contracts. They signed Darvish. They signed Sinsu Chu back in the day.
Yeah, they, none of them worked, Ian. Like, respectfully, the none of that.
They went to the World. They were in the World Series.
Take it easy.
But they've done this. This franchise has done this going all the way back to A-Rod. And we've shown over and over again that if you get one superstar, even a couple superstars, and you don't make the necessary moves around them, it doesn't matter. Now, I think Rangers fans would push back and say they do have a lot of really great young pitching prospects coming up. They have Leiter. They have Rocker, I believe, as well. So there are certainly ways for them to supplement that outside of free agency, and I recognize that. I just personally don't like any of the contracts they've given out. That's just all I would say. Every move they've made, I've always just been like, where are we going with this Rangers team? DeGrom's 35. He's going to be 35 next season. We're not talking about signing a 28-year-old pitcher. This is a 35-year-old pitcher who's thrown less than 250 innings since 2019. You know, I mean, like, there's some issues.
Tom, are you sitting on a couch right now?
I am. I had to move.
Playing couch GM? Tom, I want the Rangers to go out and win the West this year just to prove you wrong. They have good players.
I would love that.
And guess what happens when you have good players? When you get good veteran players come in, they change the clubhouse. They change the things that are going on there. Those guys that have seen winning are going to come in. They've been there for a year. They're going to make some changes. I think they have new coaching staff. Definitely a new GM, right? They fired their GM or president of baseball ops. Well, one of the two.
They fired Woodward, right? In the middle of the year this year.
I think they fired Woodward, and then I think John Daniels was there, and maybe is not there anymore. Am I getting those things right? I'm pretty sure.
They
have a new manager. They brought in Bochy, right?
Yes, they did.
Oh, that's and right.
They brought in Bochy, and I think Will Venable is the assistant manager, is what they're calling him, which is really the bench coach. But Will Venable's a stud. I think that they're creating a new culture there. They've had those guys for 1 year. Those guys are going to help mold what that culture looks like and give them a minute. I think that team is going to be good. And I will never get mad at a team for spending money.
No, and I agree too, because Seager and Semien both got off to like kind of shaky starts. I know Semien was like really shaky for like the first half of the year. And it's like by that time, you know, by the time he gets hot, you know, it's kind of too late, obviously. But like, I would not, if I were a betting man, I would not think that those two have a down year again. I know Seager had career high in homers, I'm pretty sure. But average-wise, it's not usually where he's at, nor Semien, especially.
And people are going to want to play there. People are going to want to play there because it's a brand-new stadium. It's a great city to live in. You have no state tax. You have, like
– you trying to be a Ranger? You heard it here first, folks.
I'm not trying to be anything but a Cubby.
He was lobbying to be a Yankee at the trade deadline, too. I remember. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, boy. Ian Happ wants
to. People are
going to
want to go play in Texas. People, that's not going to be a hard place for those guys to recruit other guys to come play with them. And if they can put a better than 500 product out there next year, they're going to have a bunch of guys that want to go and play there. That's all.
How many wins next year for them? How many wins next year for them?
They got to make more moves. If you look at their roster now,
that's the number I had in my head too. You want to go over under 85? I'll take under. You take over?
I'll go 84.5. I'll take the over.
Okay. But I feel like that's also dependent on what other moves they make. Like, they could still go get other players.
Right now, 84.5.
Yeah, right now, 84.5. We're doing it right now, Dakota. We're not worried about
that. I'm trying to help you out here, Tom. Like, if they go sign three more good players, like, I don't know. If
they, three more good players, I guess I'll lose. It's fine.
Then I'm scared for you.
I take the over.
All right.
Ian,
write that down. Write that down in the show notes. Write that down. Somebody in the audience, write that down. Can we talk about Judge? Where's he going? I think we are all thinking now that it's just San Francisco or New York, right? That's it. Everybody, I mean, like, if somebody else comes in and gets him, everyone would be shocked. Is that?
Well, I saw another one that said, I saw a tweet that said, like, there's like two dark horse teams, but they're not really in the mix. I go, then what are we talking about? Like, who else is showing that out?
There's always two,
like,
fake dark horse teams.
But, like, who has the money? Like,
did you guys see that the video when he got to San Francisco last week? They were like, oh, Judge, you're in San Francisco. What are you doing here? Like,
or his family's there.
Yeah, I know. And, like, I just thought it was kind of weird where it's like he's walking into a hotel and the reporter's just in it. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of
strange. They know he was going to be there.
That's what, like, I feel like it was kind of a smart move by someone in Judge's corner saying, hey, man, let's show that you're out in San Francisco. Let's get this out. Let's get this out there going.
Tom leaked it.
Yeah, I wish I had access to the Judge camp. I wouldn't be leaking that if I had access.
Wasn't it reported by Zach's boy JP that Judge was offered 8 for $300 from the Yankees?
Yeah, and I guess he wants 9 or could turn into 9. Which, again, this gets back into those older age contracts where it's like, do you want to be paying somebody at $38, $39, $40, $35 million a year?
But to get them to come play for you, I think you have to. I think you have to give them those years. And that's why I think DeGrom went to Texas. He's like, hey, I'm not going to get another contract when I'm 39. Like, let's just have me get paid till then, no matter what. And I'm good.
What if, I don't know. I know a lot of players backload their contract. Can you, like, front load it and say, hey, we'll give you the 9, but we're going to be, you know, kind of chapped for the first few years.
Or you can Bobby Bonilla it.
That's
the
true.
Reason.
Hey, you tell your 80.
Sometimes they'll do deferrals like Bobby Bonilla, but the reason why a team wouldn't want to front load a contract is because it's better for them from a financial standpoint to actually pay later.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right.
Like Jay Hayes deal. And I think I'm trying to think of some other guys that had structured with opt-outs. Like, if you have an opt-out in year 5 or whatever of a 9-year deal, they will structure it so there's some higher payment up front, and then your opt-out is like 5 years in, and then the last 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, are kind of a lower number so that you can realize more of a value if you're going to opt out. So some are structured like that. You know, these guys obviously don't have opt-outs in their deals. But in DeGrom's situation, what you said, like getting 5 years, like Verlander's 39, and he just got a 2 for $86.
But he just had a 175. Like, that's really betting on yourself that at age 38, 39, sure, you're going to still be performing. I mean, and I feel like a hitter especially,
and it's, you know.
We should mention, by the way, that there is a club option at the end of DeGrom's contract, which is right now for $20 million, could get up to $37.
For a sixth, right?
That's
for
a sixth year, yeah, though, right?
Yeah.
Yep. There's a club option for the sixth on him. And I think Verlander might have some kind of vesting option for a third year, too.
I think he did. You're right.
I truly thought that, like, Miggy's contract, the one that this is going to be his last year, which, again, we didn't talk about. I thought that was going to be one of the last, like, long contracts like that, because, you know, he's been hurt. You know, again, he's top 3 right-hand hitters of all time, and he's playing until he's 39. It's like, do you want to be paying these guys? When you give him the contract, I don't know how long his contract was, but obviously in the early 20s, are we going to be banking on this, whoever it is, to be playing at this caliber level, making $30 to $40 million when he's 38, 39, 40 years old? And that's when I thought, when Miggy started getting hurt, when you could kind of see a decline in his power numbers, where I thought teams were just going to be like, we're giving 3 to 5 year contracts. That's it, from a business standpoint.
Tom?
Verlander, by the way, does It's a club option, but it vests if he pitches 140 innings in 2024 for $35 million last year.
I do think it's really interesting about the long contracts, because you saw Pujols and you saw Miggy, and now, you know, you have Machado. Machado has an opt-out next year. You know, Turner signed an 11-year deal. Harper signed a 13-year deal. Judge is going to sign at least 8 years, maybe nine. But I think that for those premium guys, they've decided that paying them for, you know, whatever amount of production they'll get out of the first 5 or 6 years is worth it. But then you have, you know, Correa goes out and signs that crazy opt-out deal with a really high AAV. Like, I think it's going to be interesting for the next three shortstops that sign, like what those deals look like. If they're similar in length, if one of them is a shorter, you know, higher AAV deal or what. But it kind of runs the gamut here as far as like what teams are thinking and how they're doing. You know, Brave just got that 3 for, what was it, 57 or 60? Go ahead, Dakota. Tell me. What do you got?
Oh, I just had a question. I was waiting until you finished. That's why I raised my hand and didn't say anything.
Yeah. Go.
It was polite. I was going to say, I thought of this the other day. And it's way easier to say when the offer's not in front of me. But if you're someone like that and you're being offered $35 million a year from, we'll just say we're talking about Judge. It could be about anybody. Say Judge is getting offered $35 million a year from the Yankees and the Red Sox come in and say, fuck it. Here's $45 million a year or like whatever, like two different teams. Wouldn't you at that point, like, is the extra $10 million a year really worth it? Like, wouldn't you pick the place you'd like more? Like, personally, I would like to think I would pick where I would like to live more, what team I'd rather play for. Like, I'll take $5 million less a year to play for that team. Cause at the end of the day, what's the difference in your bank account at 30 and 35 million? Like, you have enough money to do anything you want to do forever.
Helps the guys coming up behind you.
I get that. And I know Ian hates that I asked that question, but that's how I look at it. Is like, wouldn't you rather play somewhere you like to play than go play in, like,
hey, guess Cleveland? What?
Hey, you want to go play in Cleveland for $40 million or in New York for $25 million? I'll play in New York. Thank you.
I will play anywhere you want.
But I'm saying, is the $5 million extra a different team is offering you per year really worth switching?
Can I give you two perspectives? I want to give you two perspectives.
Yes.
My first perspective will be more of the old school. Old school is not the right word, but the mentality of the guy that wants to win, wants to play in a certain place, right?
Yes.
John Lester took less money to be a Chicago Cub because he wanted to play in Chicago. He believed in what they were going to build, and that he did that, and it worked out really well for him. Mm-hmm. Kershaw keeps signing hilariously undervalued one-year deals in LA because he likes playing there, whatever the reasons are. You know, you just watched Verlander go out and get 2 for 86. You watched DeGrom get 5 for 185. I think DeGrom and Scherzer are the same age, and Scherzer or DeGrom, Scherzer. Who am I saying? What am I saying? Kershaw just signed a 1 for 20. So
it was really bad. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It was really funny.
I was saying names. Scherzer came up at some point. DeGrom signed a 5 for 185. Kershaw signed a 1 for 20. Okay, they're the same age. They've thrown the same amount of innings in the last 5 years, and they've been relatively of similar production. So it makes no sense, but he likes LA. He's comfortable in LA. He's played his whole career in LA. He's been really good. They have really good teams. As long as they want him, he's going to have a deal. So, you know, it's a little bit of personal preference there. Let me say the next thing. The next thing is, when guys start looking at hilarious numbers like this, like 8 for 300, like whatever the 9-year deal looks like, mm-hmm. I think there is a little bit of psychology that is like, oh shit, like how big can we make this? You know, if we're going back and forth between two teams, if we're getting into a bidding war, you know, maybe those two places are both equally as attractive, you know, and then you start pushing the market. And I think guys get really excited about pushing or the agent or whoever, and it's, you know, pushing the market and finding, as those numbers balloon, you just kind of get obsessed with that. And maybe, I'm sure there's a number of guys that have looked back after they've signed deals in certain cities and it hasn't been what they wanted, but that money is always a nice cushion.
And that's, I don't want to make you, I'm not going to ask you. I was going to ask you what you do. But you don't know what you'll do, because, like,
no, I don't know. You don't
say you go through this year with Chicago, with the Cubs, obviously, and you become a free agent. and then you're back in the free agency, and the Chicago Cubs come to you and say, we'll give you 6 for $120, and the Angels say, we'll give you 6 for $160, or 6 for $150, we'll say. What would you – I know you'd strongly consider it, but, like, is that worth the extra whatever it'd be a year, extra couple million a year? That's what I'm just curious. Like, I don't know what I would do, but I feel like I would choose the situation I like more with the team I like more and like give up 3-4 million a year, which, because at the end of the day, you're still making 20 million a year. And that's also, so much money. You have so much money.
You could go somewhere that's a better market where, you know, the team's going to win. You're going to make more money there. If you play well, you'll get way bigger endorsements for being World Series MVP or whatever like that, opposed to, you know, going and burying yourself somewhere for $5 to $10 million more dollars. So, like, there's just a lot to think about, I think.
And that's, I mean, the main person that comes to mind is Chris Bryant, because he went to Colorado. They're not a very good team, made a lot of money. And it's one of those, like, it depends. I'm just curious what other people, like, for Aaron Judge is my main curiosity of, like, would he take $20 million less on the total contract to stay in New York, or would he rather have that extra $20 million with the Giants? I think his comes down to years more than money, but I'm just curious. Like, I want to see what his final offers are when he decides, just to see what he chose.
For sure. And I think his situation is really interesting, because he set himself up because he had the best year ever. And he has the team that he's played for his whole career in New York, where people love him and they know they're going to be in the playoffs every single year. And then he also has the team across the country that has a great track record, has put together winners, is willing to pay him, and it's where he grew up. And he's probably super familiar and loves that city too. So, like, he's put himself in a pretty good win-win spot. And sure. If he goes and takes more money to go play in San Francisco, I would hate the narrative that he, like, sold out for the money, because, like, that's also, like, an unbelievable situation.
He also has the leverage.
Tom will run that. You know, Tom will run with that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying people sell out if they take the bigger deal, because I don't know what I would do. Like, who knows? Like, if someone offers me this, like, and exactly like you said, like, Aaron Judge is from California. Like, I couldn't call him a sellout if he went home to play for a good team. Like, the Giants, it's not like he's joined. They're not very good, but they're paying me a lot. It's like, it's going to be a good baseball team.
And yeah, dude, there's something about playing for, like, some guys like playing for home and some guys don't want to play for home, like, or close to home. It's like, it's just that much added, I don't want to say stress or pressure, but it's like people asking for tickets all the time. You know, I'm sure he's gone through it all before, but he's played literally across the country his whole career. It's not like he's been that accessible to where he could have people come out of the woodwork saying, which I'm sure he still does, but being home and where you're from makes that 100 times worse. Which, or he could say, yeah, I want to go home. I want to be home. I haven't played close to my family at all. And like you said, if he says that, who am I to say he's a sellout? Who is anybody to say he's a sellout?
Exactly. Because you never know the real reason. Like, the money's obviously a big factor, but there's other factors involved than just the contract. Go ahead, Ian.
You were going to say something. Was it about Aaron Judge? You're going to call him a sellout if he goes to the West Coast? What were you going to say?
No, I
will 100% say that.
No, I think I'm more rational than a lot of other Yankee fans. I'd be curious to see what they would say. I think you guys made a really compelling argument. The argument for San Francisco is really strong for him in his circumstances. I think the Yankee argument that I was going to bring up, the case for staying a Yankee, is that he's probably going to be named captain the day he signs that contract.
Yes.
You know,
he's,
as we talked about last week, he's probably going to, you know, there's a lot of things in terms of, it's really about, in my mind.
But he's the captain. He's the captain regardless.
No, actually, but there's something special about being named.
I totally get it. But, like, he walks around with an S on his chest, not just a C, an S.
Well, and we've heard from people that played with him or currently play with him, and, like, they're like, yeah, like, he's the leader. It's not like, oh, like, by default, it's like, no, like, he is the leader.
Right.
Like,
so, yeah, obviously the last captain was Jeter, which I totally understand. That is something that you can't put a price on. You can't. But,
well, you remember in the doc, he didn't get it until he signed back.
Right.
He was a free agent, and they didn't know if they were going to sign him back.
And it's not like, I don't know. It's
To me, the argument is, do you want home or do you want legacy? You know, and I don't think there's a wrong choice. Like, I think if you want to play at home and you want to have an opportunity to win championships at home, you can do that. And I don't think anyone can dispute that.
You're going to bury him if he leaves. Oh, my gosh.
How could you give up being the captain of the Yankees? How could you give that up?
But I agree with Tom.
Been the captain of the Yankees.
Zach, I'm surprised you don't find that a bigger deal being from New York. Like, I feel like that's kind of like, I'm not saying that's going to be
No.
Being a Mets fan, I'm surprised you don't find that a bigger deal.
No, I think.
But he loved Jeter.
Yeah. Like, I think hearing from Scott with how much like of a leader he's been, like, I just think it goes without saying. Like, I think if Steinbrenner came up to him and said, hey, we're going to make you the captain, do you want to sign back here? He'd be like, go ask the 26 other guys in there. I am the captain. That's me.
Yeah.
I hold these meetings. I am the one who's speaking, you know, like everybody follows what I do. And I'm not saying he does that, obviously, but it's like, yeah, obviously that holds a lot of weight and a lot of merit, but is that going to get him? Is that going to be the selling point to get Aaron Judge back in New York? Hey, you're going to be the captain.
No, but there's something to say that it's the only team. I think it's the only team really, like, I mean, in hockey, they still do it, but it's like the only team in sports that the captain still means something. Like, if the Mets say, oh, Frankie Lindor is our captain, it's like, oh, cool, nice.
No, I
don't football totally, teams have totally captains?
What'd you say?
Don't football teams have
captains? They have like four or five. They have six captains.
Every quarterback's a captain.
It's like you got a kicker, a punt. Like, it's a bunch of
players. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Always, brother.
Should baseball teams have captains? Should they give out captaincies in baseball?
I don't think it should be like, oh, you have to have a captain. Like, if no one's really worthy of being a captain, then your team doesn't have a captain. But like, if you got someone like Anthony Rizzo should have had a C on his chest in Chicago.
I always wished he had a C on his chest, you know?
Yes, but that's what I mean. Like, there's certain players where it's like that guy should have a C on his chest.
But I think every team, again, I'm speaking about like the three teams that I've know people on, but in like listening to people talk, like, I think every team has somebody they go to, whether it's a vet or somebody who's won before or somebody who leads by example. You know, like, I think every team, whether they want it or not, has their own captain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. But to Ian's point, I feel like there's certain situations where it's like this one guy is the guy. Like, I feel like in other locker rooms, like, wouldn't you say like some pitchers have like a pitcher captain and then there's like a position player captain? Like, I feel like with the Chicago, I mean, you had Lester there too, but like, Ian, I know you were in the locker room. Wouldn't you say like Riz was like the guy?
Yeah, Riz was the guy.
Like, if it came down to it, he was the one talking.
And now it's crazy that Riz goes to the Yankees where it's still like what he did in Chicago for that. And then now he has Judge there too, where it's like either those guys can speak. And guess what? I'm listening.
Tom wants to talk about Roman. We're going to talk about Roman. Okay. This question about Carlos Rodon is going to be brought to you by Roman. That's /backslash/backslash/backslash. What's a backslash and what's a slash? Can we get into that for a second? Which one's which? Anybody know?
I can't speak intelligently on it.
I have no idea.
I'm going to say when it goes like down, it starts low, like left to top, bottom left to top right is forward slash. Top left to bottom right is backslash is how I would view it.
All right. So it's just slash. Uh-huh. Roco slash compound. That's ro.co/compound.
Do you want a better sex life? If so, you're not alone. But Roman is here to help. Roman is the digital health clinic for men, addressing a variety of sexual health needs and offering genuine medication that helps achieve and maintain a strong erection. Roman offers discreet wipes that help you last four times longer in bed. At Roman, there are no waiting rooms. There's no hassle. It's a straightforward digital experience from the comfort of your own home. If medication or testing is appropriate, Roman will send it directly to your door. Everything arrives in discreet packaging with free two-day shipping. To learn more about how you can achieve your own personal health sexual goals, go to ro.co/compound. Again, to achieve your personal sexual health goals, Go to row.co/compound. That's row.co/compound. Get 20% off your entire first order.
That's my captain right there.
Row.co. Row.co.
I've seen two things on Twitter that I'd like to update before we get back to Rodown.
Please.
One, Aaron Judge is at the football game tonight with a Mike Evans jersey on, a.k.a. Aaron Judge to the Tampa Bay Rays. They're opening up the checkbook.
Hey.
Here he goes. Two, I see that John Lester is helping sell Xander Bogart or sell the Cubs to Xander Bogarts.
I actually just saw that too, that they met with Bogarts and Rossi. Mike Napoli and John Lester have been selling Bogarts. For everyone in the audience, those guys all played together in Boston and I believe won the 2013 World Series together.
That's so sneaky that Xander Bogarts was on that team.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Sneaky, sneaky. I think it was his rookie year. But the guys that I know that have played with Xander have spoken very, very highly of him.
Just pay him. Like, what do you need to sell him on? Like, it's Chicago. It's a great city. Like, what do you, it's the best fan base. Like, it's you just pay him.
Did I tell you the story about Bogarts last year when we were playing them, when it was like August, hot as balls? And I think it was their first day in Detroit, and him and Scope are really close from being from Curacao together. And he gets there, and on the road, you know how like they can have the field from like 2 till 3:30, whatever. And this dude is out there at 2 o'clock, cut off shirt, absolutely drenched, hitting like 300 at the time with 20 homers, whatever it is. And Scope goes out to him and he's like, bro, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, I got to find it, man. I got to find it. And me and Scope are just looking at each other like, you have to be kidding me right now. Like that. I just feel like every time I hear something about Xander Bogarts, it's like, okay, open the book, whatever he wants.
I don't think I've heard a bad thing about Xander Bogarts, and I hate the Red Sox. So,
can I say something, Dakota, to your point about what do you need? Just pay him. Mm-hmm. I think he's the type of dude that wants to win. Like, he wants to win so bad. He probably wants to know the direction of whatever franchise he's going to play for, when they're going to win, when they're going to compete. Because, like, that, what I've heard about Xander is that he's very similar to Nico in the sense that, like, or Nico's very similar to him, that like only cares about baseball, only wants to win, just wants to like, it's just winning, 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 winning. And
he'd be so perfect to have with Nico then.
He probably wants to be sold on like, hey, how are you going to put together a winner so I can compete in the playoffs? So
but also,
can I ask my question?
Sorry. I was going to say, but why is John Lester the person to ask for that? Why would John Lester know when they're going to win? John Lester doesn't know what Jed Hoyer's going to do and who he's going
to
sign.
I mean, if I'm Jed and I'm trying to sell anybody on the Chicago Cubs, I'm saying, hey, John, why don't you tell them about the 6-year deal that you got here, how awesome it was, how you won a World Series, and how you're an absolute legend in this
city. Well, you had Theo Epstein then too, which, you know, played a factor.
If you're Carlos Rodon.
Yes.
And you're getting offers from all of the teams that are in the market. They're paying guys that want to win. Where are you going? You have Chicago your pick. Cubs. Where are you going?
Chicago Cubs. Final
probably
answer.
Probably Detroit.
Detroit. Why are you going to play for the Cubs? Go.
Because they're going to sign Xander and he'll talk to John Lester, be like, hey, man, the mound's really contoured well for lefties. We both throw lefty. Yeah, man, join the Cubs. No, but actually, I'd probably go to the New York Yankees. If the New York Yankees offered me, I'd be like, yep, let's do it. Why would I not want to go to the team that on paper probably has, well, I don't know. The Phillies are making a push now for the on paper best roster.
The Astros are bringing back the same team.
Yeah, I'll never buy in on the Astros or cheaters.
Jesus, Dakota.
Dodgers?
What? I don't care. I stand by that. I'm a free agent. I could say whatever I want.
Dodgers or Mets?
Dodgers or Mets? I'd go to the Mets. Join that rotation. So, you're the number three. There's no pressure on you.
Mets, Yankees, Phillies. Where are you going? If you're Rodon.
There's no pressure on being the Mets number three starter behind Scherzer and Verlander. and they'll pay you. And they have fake money, so they'll just give you their monopoly hundreds and say, "Here's more, here's more."
Zach, if you're a starting pitcher, where are you going?
Wherever. See, I don't know if I'd want to be more of the number one or want to win, but I also wouldn't. I don't like joining a super team. To me, is like, I don't. I get it because they're kind of have to be on a super team to win now, but.
But who do you consider a super team?
Would you call the Astros a super team?
But there's like six super
teams. No, but I'm saying like if you were to go to the Dodgers, like again, I know that they didn't win, but like that payroll and those players are just like, if you go to the Dodgers, I don't know. It's just something about, hey, he's going to the Dodgers. I'm like, oh, well, who doesn't want
to? Can I just say real quick, the Dodgers don't have, as of right this second, they don't have Bellinger, Trey Turner, or Justin Turner.
Right, but Bellinger wasn't even – really got.
I'm just saying, team year. Looks a little different.
I think Justin Turner resigns. And
Freddie, okay, wait, time out. I'm gonna keep interrupting you. You said Freddie and Mookie. I got Tom screaming about how two good players don't make a.
Okay, make a team. I mean, do you want? I didn't want to interrupt Zach with eight names. I can give you six more. Trace Thompson, ever heard of him? Will Smith, good catcher, who Gavin plays Lux. Second base for him. I'm sure he's good.
Gavin Lux,
good player. Center fielder, shortstop. Chris Taylor, good player. Who's at shortstop? They'll probably sign Carlos Correa because why not? They're the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That's my point.
Zach, where are you going?
I'm going to the Mets. No, I don't know where I'm going.
You're going to the Mets.
Was Ian just trying to convince us the 111 win Dodgers team wasn't that good?
No, he's trying. He's saying they lost pieces. He's saying they lost.
Saying it's going to look a little different next year than it did last year.
Hey, honestly, Astros would be a really good sign since they just lost Verlander.
Yeah, and they'll give you all their tips and tricks on how to get outs.
I think that would be awesome.
They're all legal too, I swear.
That was my sneaky pick for him was maybe the Astros come in, make a deal. I don't know.
I got you, Tom. I'm taking them down. They're cheaters. Yankees would have won the World Series if they didn't
cheat. Tom, where are you going if you're Rodon?
Oof.
Are the Yankees on him?
What's that?
Are the Yankees talking to him, you know?
I just read a tweet that they asked Aaron Boone about Rodon, and he had a big smile on his face apparently, and said he's a very good pitcher. You know? Most generic thing. I mean, obviously he's a very good pitcher. I mean, obviously I'm biased. I'd probably go to the Yankees. That's what I'm a fan of. But if I was actually Carlos Rodon, I do think the Astros would make a lot of sense. You know, the team that just lost a key pitcher, whatever you want to say about their pitching factory, they definitely were able to turn someone like Verlander, who was really struggling, and were able to, whatever they did, make him into a much better pitcher. So I do think somewhere like Houston makes a lot of sense. Although I would love to talk about the fact that the Houston won the World Series, and Jeff Bagwell and other people out here saying, like, we got to get rid of all the analytics now. Like, we're too analytics heavy. Do they forget that they won the World Series? Like, it worked.
Yeah.
You know, why are they trying to change their entire front office?
Tom,
that does not make sense.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tweeting during the podcast?
I did see his tweet. Throwing tweets out there
while we're recording?
He's got to stay on the Judge News. I respect
that. Trying to be current, huh? Ian,
you know, I have a question.
He definitely didn't tweet it from the compound account. What do you got, Dakota?
Wouldn't you say a team like the Cubs, who didn't have a very good year, not a terrible year, but not a great year, didn't make the playoffs, a non-playoff team like the Cubs, wouldn't you say that they'd have to pay a little more than, say, the Yankees or Mets or Dodgers to try to get Rodon? Just because, like, to Rodon, it's like, hey, if I'm getting the same offer from the Cubs as I'm getting from the Mets, why would I not go to the Mets? They're a better team currently.
I think this is the game. And the game is, can the Cubs or any team get that guy for slightly less because of the city, the fan base, you know, the selling him on the dream, like, this is the best place to play. It's the best fan base. We play
in the best left fielder in the league.
Good food. You're going to love, everything about this city. You're going to have a boat. It's going to be great. Like, can they sell him on that to make him, you know, buy into the dream and save a few bucks, or do they just go and pay him? I don't know. But, you know, they were able to, that's a good question, but I think you would have said the same thing about John Lester in 2015. You would have said, like, wouldn't the Cubs have to pay more because they just lost 100 games in 2014? But no, they didn't. They got John to, you know, like you said, Theo and Jed were with John in Boston and everything, but you know, they got John to buy in on being a Chicago Cub and what that meant, and then 2 years later they win the World Series. So I think it's all just depends on the player.
And I think it's overlooked to that point how much of an effect Theo Epstein had, because like once he took over, it's like, yeah, I want to go play for it, because like he's going to make it a winning team. Like he's not going to sit there and let the team keep losing. Like you knew, like John Lester knew, like he's going to make moves.
And Jason Hayward took less money too.
True.
He took less money to come be a Cubby.
Mm-hmm.
I think kind of significantly less. And, you know, that's all part of it. And, you know, what Dombrowski's doing in Philly, like, I guys know that Dombrowski's going to go spend a shit ton of money. And, like, he's lived up to that expectation. Before we go, before we do Sloan screen time, I had one more question for you guys that I seem to have forgotten. I can't remember.
I think did you take any show notes?
What?
Did you take any notes?
I have show notes, yeah, but I didn't write my question in my show notes, which is kind of amateur hour of me. I should have wrote my question in my show notes.
Embarrassing.
Let's jump into Sloan screen time, and if I remember my question, I'll ask it.
Yeah, mine still says 2 hours, so that, we know that's not true.
5:35. See, but it sucks because I don't go to bed till like 12.
This sounds like an excuse, no?
It's really not. Like I go to bed like after midnight because
yeah.
You know, what am I doing with my life?
I wake up an extra
30 minutes that count to today, which kind of stinks.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
I guess
man.
It's not counting tonight towards today. So it evens out. 5:35. Don't
5:09.
Ah!
Wait, Dakota, you're 5:35?
Yes.
I'm also 5:35. That's
why. Oh, let's go. Huge time. If you didn't tweet, you would have beat me.
Ah, true. Well.
Hey, 4:54 for me. 4:54. Oh, I will take that.
That's
W.
A high day for you.
Hour back.
Ooh, you do have an hour.
But that's just a competitive advantage that I have, much like the Astros. I didn't mean that. I was traveling a lot in the last couple of days or last couple of weeks. And I got to see a lot of different Sloan flushers and faucets. I mean, old ones, new ones. I could have had a catalog to look at all the models. They're everywhere. A lot of airports.
I was worried about the wedding I was at. I was like, if we don't have Sloan flushers, I'm going to be, you know, drinking a lot. Luckily, Mike Mara's wedding, shout out friend of the compound, had Sloan flushers. We were all good. Could go pee.
The guy knows, man. He knows.
He knows.
Thank God.
Oh, you know what else was cool to see with the Spotify Wrapped, where they wrap up your year? A lot of people tweeting at us showing that we were like in their top five. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. I want to say thanks to the people. You know what else I want to say to the people? We haven't done this in a while, but like, subscribe, resubscribe, unsubscribe, subscribe, like,
break your comment. Thumb.
We could use some of those. If you're bored, if you like want to go on and just shoot us a like, but also make sure that
like
you
our TikToks
so
too.
That when we yeah, and our tweets and that Tom does from his own account before he does from our account. And, you know, just all the things.
Tweeting about Mike Talkman. If you want me to tweet about that from Compound, I'll be happy to do it.
Yeah. But seriously, the subscribe and resubscribe and unsubscribe and then subscribe again and maybe like and rate.
Leave a little review. We need more reviews. Leave lots of
yeah, that would be nice for
unless
us.
Unless they're we mean really reviews. That we don't want to hear the mean ones.
Yeah. Only hey, we need, you need to build off them. Find out what we're doing wrong.
That's true.
Go back into the lab and then come back ready the next week.
I'm going to think of my question and then I'm going to ask it next week. That's 137 or 38. Tom is not sure of the Compound Podcast. And we'll see you next week.